Okay, we're back. You're listening to Cross the Border, and we're still in the Gospel of Matthew. We're finishing up chapter 19 here, and really think it's not a real good place for a chapter break, but that's where they put it. So, in the regeneration, the Son of Man will sit in the throne of his glory. You shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And now he expands his view. He says, and everyone. So now he's not just talking to the 12 disciples there before him. He says, and everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Are you willing? Are you willing to forsake? Most people are not willing to forsake these things. That's why most of them gladly receive and will receive the mark of the beast when they understand what it is. They will gladly receive it, and they will not forsake anything. And that's one of the things, because with the mark of the beast, of course, the mark being a monetary mark, allowing you to participate in the beast unjust weight and balance credit monetary system. And, you know, they're kind of having a credit crisis right now because they don't have real money. They're having a credit crisis because they're playing games with all of their people out there. That's right. It's credit. It's a credit crisis. What is credit? Well, their credit is all fictitious. The only reason they're having a credit crisis is because they want a credit crisis. I mean, if you can print money out of thin air, how can there be a credit crisis? So it doesn't make any sense. Now, this wouldn't happen in a real monetary, you know, and the Heavenly Father, he says over and over, and we've read it in our studies here, a just weight and a balance are mine, saith Yahuwah, saith the Lord. That's read, you know, read it. Get it for yourself. It's in, you can look up those words. A just weight and balance are mine. You know, what does that mean? That means that when America was founded, one of its lamb-like features, you know, I'm always looking for the lamb-like features in a nation to fit into prophecy. Because there's this lamb-like beast or nation or government that rises up out of the wilderness. And it seems to fit America very good. But one of its lamb-like features was a just weight and a balance. That's right, gold and silver for money. You know, our Heavenly Father's, God's monetary system. A just weight and a balance. But now they have a credit monetary system, and they're having a credit crisis. That means that they're manipulating the people because they want to do something. They want to bring change about. So they have a crisis every time they want to bring change about. These guys have become masters at bringing about change. So we should give it up. Will you give up the credit monetary of the system of the world to embrace our Heavenly Father's monetary system? And I know it affects a lot of people when they're having a credit crunch and they're laying off people out of their jobs and stuff like that. But I'll tell you what, anytime you do anything in obedience to the Heavenly Father, remember the words of Yahshua. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Well, those things are the things that you need. So if you seek first his kingdom, your family's not going to go hungry. The credit crunch or crisis is not going to touch you. I'm here. You know, I'm sitting in heavenly places here on the land they call California. And they're having a credit crisis out there. But I could care less because I'm not a participant in their credit crisis. Well, if someone gives me one of their notes, I'll take it, you know, and pay my bills with it as a medium of exchange, but I'm not going to become a card-carrying member. And if I was a card-carrying member, I would repent. I would throw it off, and I would trust in our Heavenly Father, and He will take care of you. He will provide everything you need. He promises it. So if you're going for His righteousness, by throwing off the things that he says to throw off, by coming out of her, my people. Well, there you have it. Mystery Babylon. You know, perhaps this is an opportunity to talk about Mystery Babylon, because it seems like I get a little more revelation every once in a while. And Babylon represents all of the nations of all mankind for all time. You know, the image from Nebuchadnezzar's dream, that's what it represents. Now, you take that picture, that representation of the times of the Gentiles, or Mystery Babylon, same thing, because it depicted the times of the Gentiles, because Yahshua, another clue, he said that Jerusalem would be trodden down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And from the time of the head of gold of Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, Jerusalem had been trodden down of the nations, or the Gentiles, from that time all the way till now. That's right. Even though Israel was allowed under the auspices of some of the dictators of those nations to go in and to rebuild the temple in the city, they were still under foreign rule. Times of the Gentiles. So the times of the Gentiles extends back to the head of gold of Nebuchadnezzar when he went in and destroyed the temple the first time, made it desolate the first time because of the overspreading of the abominations of Israel before that. He was doing the work of our Heavenly Father when he went in there and destroyed that temple. So the times of the Gentiles, and back to Babylon and Mystery Babylon. I'm sitting in Babylon right now. Because the whole idea of Babylon, go back to the Tower of Babel, where all of the people of the earth were one, where they all came together and they said, nothing can be withheld from us. You know, we will be our own God. And that's what we have going on now in the world. In the nation where I live is, well, it's a Babylon. It certainly is. They're bringing in people from all over the world. They're all coming together and they're building their own kingdom of heaven on earth. And not only are they building their own kingdom of heaven here on earth, but they're trying to force it on the rest of the world. So they're taking the kingdom, or they're enforcing the kingdom, or spreading the kingdom by force. And Yahshua said the violent do that. And you see how violent they are. Look what they're doing. Trying to spread their idea, and they call it democracy, around the world. Mystery Babylon has not rested at all. That's the whole idea. That's what Babylon represents. It's there in the scripture. From the earliest notion of Babylon to Babylon the kingdom. Because you see what Nebuchadnezzar did when he went in and sacked a country. He embraced everything in that country. He embraced the people of that country. He would place them in office. And of course he would destroy the ones that wouldn't go along. Rome did the same thing. And of course, Rome continued to do it. Especially they turned on, that's the great whore. And she killed hundreds of millions during her, reign from decree to decree, the 1260 years. Of course, she received a wound, but yeah, she's healed, but she's become much more subtle in her work. Well, don't worry. The second beast that was lamb-like, which is changing its colors right now before our very eyes, is going to start speaking like a dragon, and it's going to recreate, it's going to make an image to the first beast. That means it's going to set up something that is like the first beast. And it's going to enforce worship of that image. That means that it is going to have something like an inquisition, which the first beast had. That's what it means to have an image of something. It's just like it, like we were made in the image of our Heavenly Father. So he made us in our image. Of course, the humanity went astray when Adam sinned, and we all are born with this fallen nature. So we become less like the image, but we can be conformed to the image of his whole only begotten son. So we become like the Son of God. That, so we have, if you want to know, understand the image of the beast, that the second beast creates an image in the, of the first beast and causes all, both great and small, that, you know, to receive the mark in their hands or their forehead, Or we're going to have another Inquisition, because that's an image of the first beast. The first beast was Roman papal authority, which has the killed so many, has the blood of the saints on its hands. It's going to happen again. There's going to be an image created like that. And the same things are going to happen if you don't fall down and worship the new image created by the second beast to the first image. I mean, to the first beast, then the same thing is going to happen to you as happened to all those who would not worship the image of the first beast during the 1260 years. I hope that clarifies a little bit of prophecy for you, but the Heavenly Father is just, he's opening my eyes wide open to these things, and it's becoming so clear. And search them out for yourselves. That's all I can say. Search them out for yourselves. So everyone that hath forsaken houses, so to not worship the image of the beast, this is the point. You may have to forsake your livelihood. It may cost you your houses, your brethren, your sister, your father, your mother, your wife, your children, or lands for his name's sake. But you will inherit eternal life, because he says, you shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. So you can worship the image so you can keep all of your things now, but you won't get that everlasting life. You'll pay the price for your own sins when your mortality, your period of mortality, your grace period of mortality comes to an end. You will pay the price for your own sins because death, the wages of sin is death. Oh, we need to count on him and his blood. Enter his kingdom. And he says, no matter what the cost, you enter my kingdom. Whether it costs you houses, brethren, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, or lands, or anything, any riches of this world, you'll receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. And if you want to keep those things, if those things are more important to you than pleasing our Heavenly Father and crossing the border into his kingdom, then you'll pay the price for your own sins. Sad fact of history is that most people choose the latter. They choose to pay the price for their own sins because they love things more than they love the Creator. As Paul put it, as it's recorded there for us in the King James Version, they love the creation more than they love the Creator. He says, continuing here, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder. That's why I say they shouldn't put a chapter division here, because this is chapter 20, verse 1, but it's really a continuation of the same thought. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour. So he's out there, you know, 6 a.m., whatever, 5 a.m., whatever, light, first light of day, looking for men who got up. They're out there at the, you know, hanging out at the Home Depot, looking for work. You know, this is kind of thinking about these illegal aliens in America. That's what they do. That's what they did then. They kind of hang out like these people did. They would go to the town square or wherever men congregated looking for work, and whoever needed laborers for the day would go out there and get laborers if they didn't have enough already or have someone assigned to come in already. So anyway, so they go out, and so he's going, man, this work, I need more laborers in my field. So he goes out about the third hour of the day, and he hires some more guys, right, to go into the vineyard. Man, they're ripe. I got to get them off the vine. So he goes into the vineyard, and he says, go you also into the vineyard. He saw others standing in the marketplace, and he said to them, go you also into my vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. He told the first ones a penny a day. That was, you know, a penny being a day's wage. Not like a penny today, but anyway, a penny was a day's wage then. And he says, I'll give you whatever's right for the work that you do. Again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour. They worked 12-hour days then. He went out the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle. And he said to them, why do you stand here all day idle? They said to him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that you shall receive. Now this, remember, this is the kingdom of heaven is like. Don't expect to show up late for your job one day at the 11th hour, you know, of your 12 hour day, or the 7th hour of your 8 hour day, and expect to get paid for the whole day. Because, you know, it's a little different story, because he's drawing an illustration of the kingdom of heaven is like this. It's like this. So, when even was come, and that is the end of the day, they're running out of light, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers. You know, it's like the bell is ringing. Work's over. You know, call the laborers, give them their hire, beginning from the last to the first. So he's saying, call them. Whoever was last comes first. And then they came that were hired about the 11th hour. They received every man a penny. You know, this is good business practice, too, because those guys were happy. And I'll tell you what, if they came back, they're going to work very, you know, if they got any wits about them, they're going to work good for this man if they ever work for him again. Sounds like he had plenty of work, too. So he gave every man a penny about that came in at the 11th hour. But then the first came, and supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou had made them equal which us have, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered and said to them, and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that as thine, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. For many be called, but few are chosen. Wow, what does that mean? Many be called, but few are chosen. How many answer the call? That is fairly simple. But the whole idea here is that it doesn't matter. It's never too late to enter his kingdom. You can come as a child, and you can labor in his kingdom your whole life and never turn back. But I tell you what, there's going to be a difference. When the resurrection comes, the regeneration, as it says here in this text, no one's going to be saying, I feel cheated because these that came in their 50th year of life, or their 70th year, or had a conversion on the cross where they were paying for just reward for their crimes, or on death row, no one's going to be saying, that's not fair. Because he said, is thine eye evil because I am good? Do you see evil because of the good thing that I'm doing? He's charitably giving those men a day's wage. And, you know, this goes to the illustration that, and the things I've been talking about, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You come to him, and he will take care of you and provide for you and give you all these things. He will give you everything you need, just like he gives to me everything I need. Even though you just came to him, he'll provide for you. Even though I've been walking with him for 35 years and studying his word, and I'll tell you, the first half of that 35 years was a little bit rough. And some points were very rough. But he provides for me, and I'm not going to be jealous because he provides for you. No way. I've been walking in his kingdom too long. He's conforming me to his image. I will be happy, because if my eye's evil, then, you know, because he's good, well, then that would show that he has a lot more work to do with me rather than what he has to do with me. And I'm just telling you, it's still a lot, I'm sure. It's just not as much as it was, that's all. And he's got a lifetime full of work to do in us and through us. And, you know, he doesn't need us to work for him. He doesn't need me. but he uses us because it pleases him and because we're willing. Many are called, but few are chosen. So who gets chosen? Me, you know, I'm raising my hands. Me, pick me, choose me, you know. That's the one that gets chosen. The one that raises her hand and shakes it and says, pick me, choose me, send me. Me, I want to go. Many are called, but few are chosen. Because, frankly, few answer the call. And then a lot of them answer the call. We read that parable of the sower, but they kind of, you know, they can't forsake the things that they, the treasures, the things that they cherished before. And they get tangled back up in them. And they forget about his kingdom. And they hold on to the lie of those pastors, teachers, hypocrites who tell them the pie in the sky when you die message. Yes, you're going to go to heaven when you die. Don't worry about a thing. Just, you know, carry on. Do what you're used to doing. And don't raise your hand and go, me, send me. I want to do it. I want to go. I want to be in your kingdom. Choose me. Yes, do that, you know, to our Heavenly Father. Yes, bug him. He wants you to diligently seek after him. That's right. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. And I say knock until he opens it, because he will. Because he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And we have that from his word. Don't take my word for it. But I can testify that things are true. So many are called, but few are chosen. Chapter 20 and verse 17. And Yahshua, Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way, and he said unto them, you know, these are the guys that said, me, choose me. You know, he's going to take them aside. And I love that, you know, because if you're doing that, he's going to take you aside too. Behold, he tells them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Cross the Border.